Jesse.
40K. Fantasy. It's a war.
It sounds so weird. Yeah, I have Lair of the Shadow Broker.
Okay. Yeah, Lair of the Shadow Broker is where you can continue your romance with Liara.
By the way, I was so pissed after playing Mass Effect 3 that there's like four different like expansions to it, and they each cost like $10.
Yeah.
I was like, that's BS.
They all do nothing as well. You just play the expansion.
I know, but I like just more playing. You know, I played.
I heard
a good 30 hours.
Leviathan was good.
Yeah, well, I won't know because I won't pay $10 because I think I paid $10 for my used copy, which I should have just bought used because I think I now bought new because I think I knew on Amazon it's only like $15.
Yeah.
So
that game's price tanked really fast, actually.
Yeah. Well, anyway, welcome to Game Classy. I am your host, Joe, and with me as always is the Lydia to my Beetlejuice, Steve.
Dun, 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 dun.
Actually, you know,
Beetlegeist.
I was talking. Cover your nutter, Chuck. I was talking with Dwayne at game night, and Dwayne is amazed at the fact that we know so many songs and that we do it like in sync. It's like we share the hive mind.
Nice fucking model.
Zing.
Yeah, it's good times.
So we have a lot to talk about. A lot of stuff to talk about. Yeah, and not like controversial stuff, so to speak, but there's some waves being made in the gaming world.
The hentai tentacle?
Hentai tentacle. No, it's just hententacle.
It's the hentai tentacle.
No, it's hententacle.
Look at it. It's hentai tentacle.
Well, I know it is, but I mean, I'm just saying what it really is called.
Yep, it's the hentai tentacle.
I
saw that. I was like, oh, what's a douche name that? Hentai tentacle.
But it's such a great name to say. Hententacle.
Hentai tentacle.
There's no I in the middle of
it. Doesn't matter.
You know what? There's a guy at my work who he knows I'm a big Star Trek fan, and he's a very large African American gentleman, and he's kind of nerdy himself, but he always calls Uhura Uhuru, and it drives me fucking up the wall. And he's like, no, it's Zulu for something or other. I think peace or something like that. I go, yes, I know it is, but that's not her fucking name. That's how I kind of feel about the hentai tentacle. Yes, I know it's a hentai tentacle, but that's not its fucking name. But anyway, it's a good transition. Not even a transition, but good for bringing it up. Chaos Warriors got leaked early. That's the next Warhammer Fantasy code, Warhammer and rulebook, I guess, since Empire last May.
Yep.
So once again, GW cares about square bases, regardless of what Steve says.
They care.
With quotation marks.
With quotey fingers. They care.
Yeah. I was actually, I was surprised because I put up the pictures and I did not receive a Steve, oh yeah, these models fucking blow comment, which normally is what I get from you.
Well, we were going to discuss them on the podcast so I could tell
them. Oh, okay.
Them.
So that's what
I can go. It's very quick and easy. The hentai tentacle, that thing's pretty sweet. Beast chariot, stupid as hell.
You'll think it's stupid? I like it.
The regular chariot is all right. The Forsaken, awful.
Terrible.
They're probably going to be super good.
Oh, they're going to be fucking fit. Basically, if you don't know, they look like normal human being bodies, but with orc arms on them mutated chaos heads from 40K.
They look terrible. They look like 5th edition Chaos Warriors with the mutations.
$50 for 10.
Yeah. Well, so not only are they god-awful models, but they're super expensive.
So you're going to have to run at least 30 in a unit, and they're going to be ridiculous.
40.
Mm.
So, those models are bad.
Depends on their point cost.
The character models, while look cool, they're fine cast, so who cares? I don't want my toys to
that
break.
That automatically takes it. What about Throg, the giant...
Is he fine cast?
I believe he is.
Then I don't care. Then he's just going to break.
What about the Dragon Ogres? You like the Dragon Ogres?
I do like the Dragon Ogres.
Wow. You know what? It's actually kind of nice because they are on monstrous cav bases now, the 40 by 50 by 60s or whatever they were. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's nice. It actually fits what they are, and I hope they carry over to the Beastmen's.
Yeah, I didn't have to say all these models all suck because the models didn't all suck.
Yeah, which is unique for you to say about GW at this point in your life, because normally you're just like, GW, fuck it. It's all trash. Well,
normally,
put it in the garbage.
Normally it is.
But actually, yeah, I was really impressed with this release. But I think maybe just a little bit of shock because there hasn't been a fantasy rulebook in over almost a year now. But so that's coming out, and then,
well, I mean, it's Chaos. It's the best model range in fantasy.
You think?
Yeah. There's no other model range that's as good as Chaos. Not in fantasy. There's a few standout pieces for a few other armies, but as a whole, every army in Warhammer has a bunch of shit models.
Yeah.
Some good models, and then maybe a few really sweet models.
Yeah.
And I think that Chaos overall has the highest percentage of models in the very sweet or really cool.
I could see that. I think Empire is really good. I don't think there's any shitty models in the Empire range. Personally, but people don't like the state troops. They just don't like the pose.
The poofiness?
Some people just don't like the poofiness. I like the poofiness. I also think the Skaven range is really
nice. We know you like the poofiness.
Yeah, I do. I like the Skaven range too, but, you know, whatever. Fuck it. Who cares? It doesn't really even fucking matter in the long run. The fantasy is so underlooked right now, but I think a lot of it may have to do with the shakeup going on at GW right now. Heard about this?
The dude stepping down?
Yeah, Mark Wells, who was the CEO for the last 5 years.
Yeah, I put that up on the Facebook page.
One could argue the worst 5 years in the history of Games Workshop, and now Tom Kirby is kind of absorbing the role of CEO as well as his other jobs. So who knows where that's going to go? I don't know.
Kirby's last name is the same as that pink character from Nintendo who blows things and sucks them up.
Okay. Well, you heard it here first, folks. We already did the doot doot singing earlier. I'm not going to do it again.
I imagine Tom Curry will be fighting a giant tree by spitting apples at it any moment.
Any moment now.
Any moment now.
With Mark Wells leaving, I don't know if it's going to change too much overall. I don't think it's going to change the overall business plan, but, you know, a new CEO does change things up quite a bit.
I don't think it's going to change anything that's visible by the average hobbyist.
Relevant to the gamer.
Yeah.
I kind of agree with that. I don't think it might change some of the pricing stuff. It might change some of the release schedule stuff. But I don't think it's going to change the overall kind of direction Games Workshop is going right now. I mean, who knows? It could.
Spiraling rapidly downward.
For a game. And I think Josh Redman, when he's not busy talking about Malifaux, I think he said it actually best. Let's see if I could pull up his quote.
Were you just frightened by your tablet computer?
I was frightened by my... It's so confusing. Yeah, I'm gonna
touch things on it and it lights up.
Yeah. If I could root through this like millions of things he wrote about Malifaux on here, let's see.
Malifaux.
Yeah. Josh Redman. I don't even know if he listens to the podcast. He probably is like, oh, this is kind of stupid. I don't like listening to podcasts. Not about 40K. That's a great Redman impression if you know him. He said, we can all sit there and come up with failures of GW, but when it's all said and done, there are a few things GW has done. Create a game that most of us still play, brought us together as friends, and paved the way for other miniature games. Like it or not, it's the truth. And I completely agree with that statement. With the exception of maybe pave the way, because I think really Clan War did that the most for me.
What about Cronopia?
Cronopia paved the way for all the war games as we know it.
I think it was Battletech.
Roll your overheat dice, Steve. You took one step. Roll for overheating.
I mean, if you really want to give credit where credit is actually due, you have to give it to Dungeons and Dragons.
No. Yeah.
You have to, because that's where miniature gaming is really from.
Yeah.
Like, fantasy miniatures gaming.
Well, Chainmail. Was that their game they originally did, Chainmail?
Yeah, because the original version of Dungeons and Dragons, they suggest you use Chainmail to resolve your conflicts.
I read through the chainmail rules. I'm like, these are terrible.
They weren't terrible at the time.
No, they were the only rules.
Yeah.
People were like, this is amazing. Roll on the damage chart.
The attack matrices.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I think it's interesting. I would be more happy when they got rid of the person who's running GW US right now, because I think she is, yes, it's a she. I think she is ruining the kind of the feel of Games Workshop in America right now. That's just me. I don't know.
I think normally it feels like a thick, hard cock, and now it just kind of feels like Jell-O.
Not really. I think it's okay. Yeah, I'm gonna go with that. No, I mean, it's Games Day being in Memphis. It's
walking in Memphis.
I'm still so baffled by that decision.
Walking in Memphis,
and I shouldn't be, because you know, in reality, it's not really hard for me to get down to Memphis. It's only like maybe a 5-6 hour drive,
and you could blast walking in Memphis the entire way down.
Yeah, I could maybe go to Graceland.
Ooh.
What's the line from the song? He said, "Son, are you from here?" I said, "I don't know how that goes." But yeah,
you only need to remember the one part.
Walking in Memphis, walking with my feet down. I hate that song so much. I really do. I worked at an Eddie Bauer once, and that was on the speaker system, and they played it over fucking and over again.
That's awesome.
Oh, can I do a complaint really quick? On my way here, the reason why I'm 10 minutes late is because I had to literally drive a mile behind on a one-lane road behind a student driver.
Nice.
And I was flipping the fuck out in my car. Like, you could see I actually have, like, spilled pop on my shirt because I was just, like, throwing my arms up in anger. Like, my window was literally rolled down in my fist, shaking out my window, yelling at the student driver.
You're covered in sweat. There's soda stains.
I'm screaming.
Your eyeballs are bulging out of your head.
I am screaming at this student driver, like, move the fuck over! Move the fuck over! And she doesn't even, like, pull over, just wave me past. No, she's got to go the entire way down the road. Oh, I was so angry. I was so mad. But it's good. It's good to podcast angry. You should always podcast angry. It's better podcast.
You should never podcast hungry, though.
Never podcast hungry, because then you just talk about food the entire podcast.
Or you're eventually just, you hear like the and then the bag opening up and the crunch.
Me and Kevin, sometimes, every once in a while, we'll podcast hungry, and it's all we talk about is food. Yeah, and so moving on to the next thing, it's another little controversial topic. It's part of our Kickstarter corner, and I guess you could say it's controversial in a lot of ways, is the Mears Miniatures Kickstarter. Steve, you want to give a little bit behind it? You know anything about it?
I don't. They pretty expressly stated that they are no longer associated with Maelstrom Games. And I think that's the controversy you're referring to.
Yes.
Yeah. They expressly stated on their Kickstarter that they're no longer owned or have anything to do with Maelstrom Games.
Do you remember what happened? What was the whole thing with Maelstrom Games?
Yeah, Maelstrom Games ran up about £150,000 in debt or more.
Yeah.
To Toy World or something. And they did not pay their debt. They had a debt paying program. They were going to pay £500 a week or whatever to pay their debt back. And that was what was agreed upon. And eventually the payments stopped going. They stopped coming through, but Maelstrom was still investing money into more Bane legions,
Bane lords,
more product, various other things. And they're putting thousands of pounds out on other things while not paying their debt.
Ah. And didn't actually some people didn't get their figures that they ordered, something like that? I heard that.
That's probable. I don't know. I don't know of that. But, I mean, they closed for operations. They declared the British version of bankruptcy.
gollywogging? Are they gollywogging?
Called,
I believe that's what the
not
British version.
Bankruptcy. They're being bought out, though, it looks like, by the largest miniatures provider, I guess, in the UK, though. So it looks like they're going to be buying their stock and their debt. So we'll see how that goes.
Is it the Queen? Isn't the Queen of England the largest miniatures game provider in England?
I don't think so. I think the Queen's more a fan of a CCGs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've just topped the manor. Lightning bolt to your face, Prince Charles. Looks like I've won again.
Oh, Mommy, you got me again. Your red deck is unbeatable, Mom. Once again, you defeated my Dagobah turtle deck.
We aren't even playing Star Wars. What you playing? We're playing Magic.
So that's the controversy as far as I know.
Can we just keep this going for the entire podcast? Just doing the queen and the
British,
prince playing.
British people playing card games?
Yeah, CCGs.
Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, it's...
It gets really awkward when they go into triple X Xenophile.
Hententicle. if you look at the Mears Miniatures Kickstarter, I hate the name Mears Miniatures. It sounds so terrible. But the whole, like, every one of their characters, if you look at the Bane Lords and the Bane Legions, they're beautifully sculpted, beautifully made, but they all have weird Welsh names. And so if you don't know, if you don't speak fucking Welsh, if you don't speak Welsh, you're like, what's that? I believe it's some sort of turtle alligator.
There's Darklands is their game they're doing.
Yeah, it's like, all of this stuff has these really bizarre, you know, Y's and W's.
I think it looks really cool. The miniatures all look awesome. They all look really, really nice.
Once again, though, generic fantasy skirmish games.
Yes, generic fantasy, but there's a lot of good-looking miniatures in there. They're very high-end. Like, the Rhino Men are really cool.
Yeah, they got like, these Rhino Beastmen and Minotaur Warriors.
Important. They have the best-looking Minotaurs, period.
Yeah, they really do.
There's no other Minotaur. No other miniatures company has Minotaurs that look that good.
Yeah.
That's important to note.
You know what? We're just going to put it down on this. The rest of the model is shit, but they're Minotaurs. Fucking amazing.
Yeah, so I think it looks really good. It looks like it's going to be a skirmish miniatures game.
Yeah. They've already made like 20,000 pounds.
Yeah.
By the way, does it annoy you now that Kickstarter is letting in the pound system?
I look at it and I'm like, fuck, I don't know how much that is.
Because I just want to say here in America, I don't like my Kickstarters to half pound.
You said it wrong.
America. As a American, I don't like my miniatures having pounds attached to them or those euros.
These foreigners come into our country and put their toys up on our websites. That should be illegal. But if it weren't for Obama, we'd be able to sell these toys and not have to allow these commie bastards onto our internets, clogging up our tubes with their pounds.
With their monopoly looking money. Look at it. That's some gay looking money. Purples and pinks.
That's totally gay. rednecks.
As I told my teacher, I only need three letters. U.S. and A.
That's good.
That's not my joke.
Yeah, Mears looks really nice. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, and their deal is really, like, if you look at the prices individually of the models that they're selling, and then you look at the cost that you're getting it through Kickstarter, you're getting a huge deal.
Yeah, getting a great deal. Because it's all resin.
It's all resin.
They're not doing plastic. So they're going to be pricier than your normal models.
You know what? They're not pricier than GW.
Well, yeah, they're not pricier than GW.
Even their plastics.
I think they look great. I'll probably be going in for a small unit.
I'm thinking about doing the Minotaurs myself.
I was going to do the Rhino Men.
The Rhino Men? I'll do the Minotaurs. You do the Rhino Men.
Animal man battling.
And
the free stuff looks cool. It looks like you get like a big free additional companion mini.
Yeah, you get an additional companion mini. You could upgrade it with other stuff for cheap. You know, stuff that would normally be very expensive is now very cheap.
Yeah, and their Chimera model is fucking gorgeous.
Yeah, if you can afford it. The thing's like $150.
It's 60 pounds.
What is it? Isn't that like $3,000 US?
I think it's only $2,500.
I blame the Republicans for not allowing the debt ceiling to be raised for the downgrade of our dollar.
Yeah, the Chimera is gorgeous. That's a brilliant miniature.
If
it were a Forge World, it would be 600 pounds.
Yeah, probably. That's $93. You can get it for $93. And I really think that it's normally like $120.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. I think you're getting it at like half price, which is ridiculous.
It's good.
It is one of the best. They do have like some of the best monstrous models that you could find.
Yeah, for sure. They're really nice. They're gorgeous models. I don't know how the game is. The game's going to be a skirmish game.
Well, you know you're not going to play it for that. You're just going to put them with your fantasy army.
Oh, I'm not putting them with a fantasy army.
Well, that's because you play Tomb Kings.
I don't have a fantasy army.
No, you don't. Tomb Kings does not count as a fantasy army.
I don't own them anymore. They're gone. They're gone, and they're in garbage where they belong.
You know what? That's still your fault for buying Tomb Kings.
Whatever.
And I'm going to stand by that.
How was I supposed to know?
Because it says right on the box, Tomb Kings.
I should have been psychic.
You should have fucking known.
I should have known. We're like,
No. All three of my armies do relatively well on the battlefield. Maybe not the way I play them, but they are still pretty competitive armies. I have Beastmen, Skaven, and Empire. They all do fairly well.
Skaven are top tier.
Yeah. Beastmen and Empire are second tier, so it's pretty good. But yeah, the whole thing is, with the Maelstrom minis, I thought that was worth bringing up. Because I really wanted to buy this, and then I was like, well, what the fuck's going on with this? I'm sure they're going to cover at least the initial.
Yeah. It's even on their Kickstarter page. Yeah, it says, we are not associated with Maelstrom.
I highly doubt that, because I think most of the people involved were at some point involved with Maelstrom.
If they were former employees,
yeah,
it doesn't matter, because they're not the ones who are writing rubber checks.
Yeah. It's very true.
That's what I'm saying. The people who are responsible for the rubber checks have nothing to do with this.
Hopefully. Rubber checks. Rubber checks.
Well, I guess in Britain, rubber checks are standard. So the people who are writing copper checks.
The copper checks.
I don't know. I couldn't think of anything.
Bamboozly checks.
Flim flammin' whiz wuzzles.
Peaches and herb fresh in your drink.
Yeah, it looks really good. I advise anyone to give it a go. The miniatures look awesome.
That's like the big, I think this is the first big Kickstarter of the new year, so to speak. Though you could consider that Kingdom Death straddled one leg in one leg in the other, and a big hanging penis in the middle.
So we started a Kingdom Death.
You know what? We're not going to talk about it on the podcast, but if you want to see a really interesting discussion.
I had to remove the thread. It was starting to get quite degenerate. I had to delete it.
Did you delete it?
Yeah,
okay,
I deleted
never mind
it.
Then.
It was getting out of hand.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we could put it up. There was a big discussion online about whether or not Kingdom Death was...
I made an offhanded comment about people being butthurt, because I was like, people are butthurt. You know, yeah.
It's which, you know...
And that just quickly spiraled out of control.
I mean, and this is one of the things that normally I look at Steve and just go, yes, it's just Steve being Steve. But, I mean, there was some interesting points brought up, and it was about sexism in the hobby. It kind of degenerated into people trolling each other, people trolling one person.
And then people trolling each other.
And then people trolling each other.
It was getting out of hand. I had to delete it. It was like, no.
Yeah. But as I always say, I think that part of the biggest reason is that people are unfairly picking on Kingdom Death. Though Kingdom Death, yes, is... The pinups from Kingdom Death, I think, are relatively sexist, but I think that people are picking on it because it was successful, while other companies that put out full-on pornographic models of girls doing unnatural things to each other with hententicles.
The hententicle.
That no one cares about because they're not successful, but this company was successful, and it does put a bad image out because... You know, if people see that successful, they're going to put it out. However, I don't necessarily know if that's going to be... People are going to say, oh, well, we have to do that. Because look at the other successful... You got Bones. You got Sedition Wars. You got these companies putting out lots of different things that are becoming very successful. So I don't know if that's necessary. I think that since it's the highest grossing one, it's not necessarily good that that's representative of the community.
I still stand by I'd like to see what percentage of dollars was actually went towards pinups.
Allocated to it.
Because the average... If you math it out, the average Kickstarter pledge is $378, on average to Kingdom Death. The base game was $100 plus all of the expansions, $270. That's $370.
Okay, yeah, so that makes sense.
So, how many people actually bought a bunch of these pinups? I don't know.
I could tell you one of my former clients probably bought a bunch of the pinups. He was like, I need you to paint these models for me, Joe. Joe, I want you to paint them. I want you to. Put tan lines on the model.
Really? That's what you want me to do?
Yes.
You can't put tan lines because they're still clothed. It's barely anything.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like,
there.
This guy would give me models with tan lines. It was bad. I mean, like, I was very, very sad when I had to. I was Captain Degenerate. Because, you know, it was before I started my job. You know, I was still working at Games Workshop, so, you know, I was making nothing. And so he would, you know, I would take on a lot of extra commissions, and then he was one of them, and he was a very degenerate human being.
Yeah.
I want you to paint this.
And then put the lotion in the basket.
Actually, he paid very well, so I'm not going to complain.
Would you fuck me? I'd fuck me.
Dun, dun,
goodbye.
Dun, dun.
God. Yeah. And then he would like, one. I painted for him until he reneged on one deal we had. He was like,
I don't have the money right now, Joe, but would you accept trade of Wings of War models? I was like, no!
Wow. That's ballsy.
No, I don't want,
like,
Wings of War.
I don't have cash, but I'll give you this garbage. Would you like my trash instead of money?
Hey, if they were Cronopia or Clan War, I would accept it wholeheartedly.
Yeah, he might have had a deal.
You know me. Okay, so moving on next. I know this is going to be a very tabletop wargaming heavy podcast because there's just a lot of stuff coming up. Privateer Press has a press conference coming up.
Ooh.
They're going to do a live stream press conference.
I think they did one last year, too.
Did they?
That's where they revealed Colossals.
Colossals. They're doing it. Apparently, this is going to be the year for Privateer Press. This might be the year where they perhaps break out of, you know, the number two position and maybe even overtake Games Workshop for the number one position.
We'll see.
Apparently, this year is going to be a ridiculous release for them. No one knows what. They're saying it's huge, though.
Yeah. Apparently, though, that's the idea is that the Colossals and because this was a pretty light release year for Privateer, because almost all of the books, Colossals and Gargantuans, have only two models per faction. They had a Warcaster, new Warcaster Warlock, and then the...
Not even a new one. It's just a revision of an old one.
Well,
generally,
Epic is new. Like, it's a new sculpt. It's not a changed sculpt.
Yeah, but that, yeah.
Same character, but they had... there was the new Dwarf, but whatever. There was a Warcaster and Warjack Colossal for each faction. There's only two. So every army got two new models. Now,
we well know that Mercenaries and Minions are not going to get any Epic. That's kind of the thought, isn't it?
Mercenaries?
Yeah.
They're going to get it. They will. Mercenaries will get it before Minions do, because Mercenaries are legit, and the fact that they just got Galleon, which is by far the best Colossal in the game.
Looks-wise or
competitive?
Oh, competitively?
Yeah, it's really, really good. It's the best one by far.
Interesting.
So the fact they got that means that Mercenaries are going to be showing up a lot more. And the Mercenaries have always been they've been like a borderline army. They're really weird. Like
They like the Rulic armies.
Well, yeah. Well, there's people who like every different version of the mercenary armies, because there's so many armies in there. There's the pirates, the dwarves.
Yeah.
There's like the classic like steelhead guys where they're like, we have halberds and guns. So
do what you want, because a pirate is free.
You are a pirate. Yar, har, fiddly dee.
Do what you pirate is all right with me.
Do what you want, because a pirate is free.
You are a pirate.
You are a pirate. We got us a map.
Map.
Lead us to a hidden box. All locked with locks.
Locks.
Buried deep away.
Yar.
We'll dig up the box.
Box.
You know it's full of precious booty.
Bust open the locks.
Locks.
And then we say hooray.
Oh.
That took up about a good minute of podcast time.
That was pretty ideal.
That was epic.
So, the rumor mill is that the reason that the amount of miniatures that came out was so small is because they were working on this gigantic, huge wave of releases for this year, where there's just going to be
a tsunami, if you will.
Shit tons of new units for everybody.
Which will be amazing, if you ask me.
Yeah.
I think that will make their presence at Gen Con all the better.
For sure.
Especially because the Gen Con last year, they had all the stuff, pretty much. All the miniatures for this year's release, pretty much out there already.
They had tons of them.
Yeah. I think actually, speaking of, what day is it today? Today is the 20th. I think the pre-sale for Gen Con actually starts up soon.
I thought that was on the 24th.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like a couple days that they're going to start the pre-sale.
Fucking A, man. They need to stop doing it so early.
I know.
They need to give us some time to like come up with some more money.
Well, that's what I get, like, because I think the room release is a little bit after that, too. Like, the first block of hotel rooms, and I was like, I got to get mine.
Yeah, it just fucking it's gone immediately.
Ugh, fucking nerds. Jesus Christ, Steve. You know, I just want to go and enjoy my board games in Indianapolis. Perhaps get some local flavor and local cuisine.
You're not allowed to do that.
I'm not allowed to do that.
No.
Why? Because you have all these neckbeards going there taking up my hotel rooms. Speaking of neckbeards, another Privateer Press thing that came up, another controversial topic, was Privateer Press shutting down
Team Covenant.
Team Covenant, which I didn't know anything about this until I saw it on the Twitters. Mm. Like, it kind of erupted, and I was just like, what is this? So the Team Covenant guys, who are apparently really huge into Monsterpocalypse.
Oh, yes.
Their operation was shut down by Privateer Press. Privateer Press basically said, you know, we're not going to let you sell anything.
They were blacklisted.
They were blacklisted.
That's what it is. When a company get, when a manufacturer can blacklist any retailer.
Mm-hmm.
Magic, Wizards of the Coast has done it before. Any manufacturer can do it. And basically what a blacklist means, they say, you are not allowed to buy our product anymore from anywhere. So all the distributors that carry said product, so say if it was Magic, all the distributors that carry Magic, they get a notice that says, like, this company is not allowed to buy Magic cards because of this.
Yeah.
Like, this is what they can't buy. This is why. And this is why I think that if they're being completely honest,
yeah,
and they say they really don't know why.
Yeah, they were all, like, in the video, like, when we started 5 years ago, we wanted to revolutionize gaming. And I'm just like, oh, Jesus fucking Christ. You neckbeards did something you weren't supposed to do, didn't you?
Well, if they're being completely honest and they're saying that their distributor doesn't know why,
mm-hmm,
and that Privateer Press won't tell them why, mm-hmm, if that's true, they're going to get sued.
Yes.
That's what it's going to be. It's a lawsuit.
Yeah.
Because the only reason Privateer Press wouldn't say anything is because they're going to take them to court.
Yeah. And they don't want to give out any, you know.
You know, I've been in this business for quite some time, and I know that if you get blacklisted, your distributor knows why, the manufacturer knows why, and you'll know why. You know, it's a pretty, I'm not going to name any names, but a store that I used to deal with a long time ago, they were blacklisted by WotC, and then it says, like, not allowed to buy, we got a little thing. It says, like, not allowed to buy Wizards of the Coast products anymore because he was selling booster boxes overseas.
Ah.
Simple as that. He violated Wizards' terms, and he knew
never cross a wizard.
Well, he knew he did wrong, and he was well aware of it. They're like, hey, you can't do it anymore. And I was like, sorry, you know, I can't help you.
But man, this company, this Team Covenant, the funny thing about the whole thing is that fucking video they put up.
Oh, that video is out of control.
Like, what? Like, they literally put up, it's a 15-minute YouTube video of them, like, saying, like, we don't know what happened.
Well, it's about 20 minutes long, actually. Yeah, and the funny thing is that the 20-minute long video basically ends in the gist of, they're not going to sell us their product anymore, so we're not going to carry it anymore. That's the video.
Well, yeah, and I think it is, like, I had no idea who these guys were. I guess they're selling stuff to, like, they sell, like, their own homebrewed stuff for Monsterpocalypse, apparently.
Which I don't think anyone gives a shit about.
No one, because no one really plays Monsterpocalypse anymore. Ever since Pacific Rim took out the wins out of the sale. For those who are unaware, I don't know, did we talk about this in the podcast?
Pacific Rim?
No, yeah, about how Monsterpocalypse was optioned.
Yeah,
by DreamWorks, and then Pacific Rim came out, and then they put Monsterpocalypse on hold, which puts the whole license into...
But DreamWorks isn't doing Pacific Rim.
No, but I'm saying is that the other company, Guillermo del Toro, is doing Pacific Rim, yeah. And so DreamWorks chose not to do the Monsterpocalypse movie.
Well, I think it's going to... I think they probably actually, I think they chose a wait and see.
Yeah, maybe that's the option, because anyway, they put Monsterpocalypse, the game, into limbo.
Yeah.
For
the game's in limbo.
Yeah, so they can't really do anything with it. However, I think I saw rumor that Privateer Press is going into another game too. Like, something's coming out soon, like another game. I guess it'll technically be their fourth game.
A miniatures game?
Yeah, or something like a fourth brand, so to speak.
Hmm.
The third / fourth.
I've heard nothing of this.
You've heard nothing of
this?
I've
heard nothing of this nonsense.
Apparently, all hentai.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, just lots of penises everywhere.
Nice.
Yes. It's nice. Very sexist.
Nice. Boner monsters?
It's actually, that's what it's called. It's called Boner Monsters.
Nice.
And it's just monsters with big boners.
All right. There's nothing else, just monsters with big boners. Awesome.
And then they sword fight throughout the entire game.
Your girth has been defeated by my character's length.
Well, that's aside from that, I still say I can't really compete with that. If you still, going back to a Kickstarter's, Rivet Wars is still going on. I suggest really taking a look at that. The more I looked at it, the more I like the core concept of the game. I kind of wish it was
Chibi Dust.
I kind of wish it was pre-painted at this point, because I don't
Chibi Dust.
I could not see myself painting those figures. But I would definitely take a look at it.
They look like they would be extremely hard because there's so many flat, rounded surfaces.
Yeah, I mean, it would be very good for an airbrush.
Yeah, that's true.
By the way, get a new airbrush.
Are you going to try those paints?
what Steve's talking about is Badger, I think, is putting out its own line.
I don't actually know.
They're putting out their own line of miniature paints for airbrush. Painting with an airbrush is difficult to begin with because you actually have to...
You have to prep your paint.
Yeah, you have to prep. You have to thin it down. You don't really have to prep. It's not as difficult as people make it out to be. You just basically find whatever works in thinning the paints when you're putting it on, and that's all you do. I usually use a paintbrush cleaner that tends to thin paints fairly well. Put a drop in with whatever I'm doing, and it's fine. But Badger actually put out paints that are designed to just pour into...
In a huge color range.
In a huge color... It's a very big color range that you just pour into the airbrush and go... I'll give it a try if I see it, but here's the problem with that, Steve. And when you're doing an airbrush, a lot of times you have to do touch-up with the same paint. You're not going to be able to do touch-up with a paint if it's designed to go into an airbrush because it's too thin at that point to do any sort of real good touch-up work. So I think that could be an issue.
It might limit what you could do with it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is like there's a limitation to what you could do
with
it.
But if you're doing it for just the smooth transitionary base coats, I think that would be fine.
Well, it's even still, it's like if you're doing like multiple colors on a lot of different things, like you slip all the time, no matter what you're doing. So if like I'm painting your pants blue, and all of a sudden the blue paint gets onto the yellow jerkin that I had done with the airbrush, that's going to fuck me over because... You know, there's no way I can find that exact same yellow.
Don't you have to use
yellow.
Mask all the time when you're doing airbrush painting?
Well, yes, if you're doing it right.
Yeah, but so that shouldn't be an issue.
But most of the time, if you're doing army level painting, you're not using mask. You're not. It just doesn't make time sense. Because yeah. Part of the whole thing with airbrushing is you're saving a lot of time, as long with the smooth transitions. But it just doesn't fucking work. But yeah, I'm definitely going to give it a try if I see it, you know, like...
Well, if you're getting a new airbrush, you should give me your old one.
No, I already got someone who's going to buy it from me.
Damn it!
I'm either going to buy a Badger or an Iwata.
You screwed me!
What are you going to do?
You screwed me again!
I'm not selling you my compressor, it's just the airbrush. You need a compressor.
I thought you were getting rid of your whole system.
No, my compressor is actually like one of those like 40-gallon... Yeah, one of the big old fucking compressors that I use. You know, like my nail gun compressor. When I was doing my nail, I was working on a project, and I go, I wonder if I could use this for my airbrush. And I was just like, I'll just do a couple, like, hey, this works awesome. I'm going to turn this up to 100 PSI.
I guess I'm stuck with the Games Workshop hand flamer.
Worst thing ever, ever, ever. You're better off, like, doing the old school, like, aborigine way of doing it, like sucking up the powdered pigment in a straw and then blowing it out than using that stupid thing. Yeah, pretty much. Nice. But that's actually a good transition, because I kind of wanted to talk about something that was brought up to me by a fan. They wanted to know about some essentials.
You mean a listener?
A listener. A fan.
Nobody's a fan of us. Come on.
I'm a fan of us.
Well, yeah, but that's just... That just goes,
I don't know much, but I know how I love you. I don't know much. But they wanted to know, what are some of the tools that people might not necessarily know about in terms of the hobby? Like, what are, you know, everyone knows that you need brushes, you need paints, lots of different, we've talked about the different paints that we like using. But what are some of the other tools that people might not necessarily know that they need?
Okay. Sculpting tool.
Sculpting. Well, you can go get a nice sculpting set just about anywhere. You know, dental tools, yep. so to speak. What do you usually use those for, Steve?
I usually use them just for gap filling.
I use them to get...
For Milliput.
To get all of the bad glue that I do off models from people who...
That's just extra detail.
That's extra. It's nurgly. Yeah, I use that too. You know, something that I like, I recommend going out and getting is X-Acto. They, you know, normally known for their X-Acto blades. They actually put out a set of tools of, there's two right angle tools that they have that if you can find, one looks like a triangle and one looks like an L-shaped. If you could find those, I use them on so many different projects when it comes to making movement bases, cutting flags, things like that. And they're really great because they're very... Very precise, and they don't bend, they don't slip, because, you know, they're made of steel.
Yeah.
So I totally recommend those, if you have those.
Let's see, other good tools.
Dremel. fuck yeah. If you don't, you know what, anybody who puts together metal models, or resin models that aren't fine crap, you're going to need to pin your models to put them together.
Yes.
Pinning, if you're unfamiliar with that, I mean, if you're like one of those guys who's like, I
really like miniature painting, so I'm going to listen to these guys on this podcast, even though I have no idea what pinning models is.
Pinning is when you take a small little piece of metal, like a paper piece of paperclip, and you drill a hole into both sides of into each piece that you're going to put together, and then you glue the pin inside there, the little metal piece, and you hold to give it a stronger bond. Generally, you use that with metal models back when companies put out metal models.
Yeah, so when that most models are metal.
Yeah, when most models were metal, so that you could, you know, so your model, if it fell, it would have a, you know, a 10% less chance of breaking.
Well, this time, it's rather than your arm flying off, the arm just, the join breaks, and the arm just spins. Yeah. It's like, wee, wee, wee.
However, you know, they used to sell this little thing called a pin vise, and it was basically like a little screwdriver for your hand, and it was the most painful thing in the world, because it would never work.
You could do it for one model.
You could do it for one model.
You could do it for one. No problem. You're like, man, my hands sure don't hurt that I finished this one pit, this one model. And you look over, you're like, oh, there's 30 more. Oh, God.
So what do most people do? Most people buy a Dremel. What do you recommend, the plug-in or the battery?
I like the chargeable battery cordless Dremel. It's wee. It doesn't have a lot of torque, but you don't need a lot because you're pinning fucking models. And then you could just blaze through pinning. Just boop, 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 boop.
I, on the other hand, recommend the plug-in version. Why? Because of the torque.
But you don't need that much.
I turn it on full blast all the time. No, actually, I use it for not only for pinning, but I use it for sanding. I use it for cleaning, you know, cleaning off big chunks of tags, you know, mold lines, stuff like that. I use it for cutting. I use the cutting bit. And so you need a lot of torque generally when you're doing that.
See, I'm using mine pretty much exclusively for pinning.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't need any of that.
So if you like the pin models and that's about it, go with the battery. If you like to do other stuff with it, you know, like, you know, cutting wood or, you know, perhaps. Or
if you're doing a lot of heavy conversion, like sawing models in half.
Or if you want to clean the grout lines of your tub.
That's
go
true.
Go with the plug-in version. Yeah,
you might want to clean that grout out. Get that grout out. Shout that grout out.
Another tool, heat gun. Do you have a heat gun, Steve?
Whoa. I had a heat gun a while ago, but I never really used it.
No?
No. I did use it once to melt models intentionally, which was pretty awesome. I was like,
take that, Spache Marinas.
I have my melter.
You got two of them, multi-melter.
So you can do it on the Murnius Cool Guard's Finecast now. So I can be like, where's your smug sense of self-satisfaction now, Murnius? And melt his face.
Smug sense of self-satisfaction.
Just melt him down.
It's really nice for if you're painting or if you're doing bases. For drying paint, as long as you don't like put the heat directly onto the model.
If you're just doing it to dry paint, you should just use a hairdryer.
Well, you could use a hairdryer. I also use it for bending resin.
Yeah, I mean, if you're using it for like there's and purposes plastic. For a heat gun, which are like melting plastic, doing foam work.
Yeah.
Doing serious like things where you need a lot of heat. If you're just doing it to dry paint, just use a hairdryer.
Yeah, go get the Twilight
hair. The Vidal Sassoon.
the Twilight hairdryer that they have at Best Buy.
That's a thing?
That's a thing. It's like it's sparkly, and you get Jacob on it.
You're lying.
No, I am not.
That's not a real thing.
I guarantee you. I put money on this. I've seen it. I've taken pictures.
I don't want to live in this world anymore.
Yes, you do. You know why? Because it's awesome that shit like that exists.
That's not awesome.
Oh, no. It completely is awesome. Because you know what? You know, you're like, if that exists, imagine the possibilities of other things that could exist.
Things that don't suck existing? Yeah.
Hen tentacles.
The hentai tentacle.
Yeah, those are some of the, you know, if you... saws too. If you got a little nice little jeweler saw or a coping saw, those are always nice to have too. The other thing that I do recommend, and I will always recommend, is the airbrush. I think that airbrush is going to be the next big thing when it comes to painting miniatures. I already think that a lot of people are using it, especially with armies like Games Workshop does, where you have to have 40 to 50 figures in a unit.
Yeah, that's my point about airbrushes. Is there's a good reason to have an airbrush if you need it.
Yes.
And you will need an airbrush if you're painting huge amounts of miniatures.
Like you with Kings of War.
Yeah, Kings of War. I'm just spraying them base colors and then doing a single piece by hand, you know, because I sprayed them all green. So I'm basically, what I'm doing is I'm using an airbrush minus the airbrush. I'm just using colored primers,
which I don't recommend.
You suddenly don't like Army Painter now?
No, I prefer an airbrush though.
Okay, but I'm not doing it to do what an airbrush does. Let's say.
But yeah, but
if you're just trying to do base coats, you can use colored sprays. If you're trying to do, you can do a lot more painting wise if you have an airbrush.
Because
you can say you have zombies, you can spray them all green with your green paint, then you could spray them with a brighter green, to jet and get some automatic highlights, and then you could spray their guts like black and then purple.
Another trick that you could do with the compressor at least. Because I use my nailer compressor. I hook up the hose that's got the air nozzle on it, and I just clean off my desk when I'm done at the end of the day.
That's great. I think
that it scares my daughter.
I think airbrush is useful if you're doing that. Otherwise, you can just use, if you're painting high end miniatures, like, and you don't have a ton, you can just use zenithial highlighting. Do the black spray, white spray on top. You're good to go. You don't need an airbrush.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, that puts us at about 45 minutes. So we got about 5 minutes before the end. I want to end under an hour this time too, because I'm trying to save some bulk time so that when we so maybe I could put episode 21 back onto the podcast. I know that you are all into Android Netrunner.
Yes.
So if you wanted to look
at my three sets, yeah, right here. I know.
If you wanted to give give any sort of a review to it at the end of the podcast here.
Okay. Like now?
Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. So, Android Netrunner has been my thing for a little while now. I played the original game when it came back out in the 90s, designed by Richard Garfield. Same, you might have heard of him.
He hates Mondays.
Yes. It was based on Artal Sorian's cyberpunk game, because they had Netrunners in it. The game never really took off to it, but you used to hear, like, at Magic Tournament, some people would be whispering about it. They'd be like, oh, man, it's like back in the day. Fantasy Flight picked up the license, and they tied it in with their Android world. And they've re-released it. It's an asymmetrical card game. So one person is playing as a runner. They're just a dude who's a hacker. They're trying to defeat a mega corporation by stealing secrets, you know, basically running amok. And then the other person is playing the megacorp.
I am paying attention, by the way. I am looking something up, too. So just so you know, I'm not like, I'm not browsing Facebook while you're talking.
The megacorp, they are... they have got tons of money, they've got lots of resources, and they're trying to shut the runner down to stop them from accessing their secret files before they can play them. And the way the game plays out is very interesting, because you kind of have different rules for each side. You know, the runner's trying to attack the corp player's deck, hand, graveyard, and the corp is just putting up defenses in front of each of these things to try and slow the runner down and stop him so he can score his agendas. I highly recommend it. I actually can't recommend it enough. It's a living card game now, so it's non-collectible. You can buy just the starter box. You can get a couple if you want to have a lot more deck-building options. And then there's the chapter packs or data packs. They're expansions. In each one, you get 3 copies of every new card, so you don't need more than one.
Ooh!
So I think it's a great deal. I think everyone should at least give it a try. It's really, really great. It's the best card game I've ever played.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. I said it was the best card game I ever played back when it came out in the 90s, and still holds true now. They actually made it better. They've improved it because they added the different corp factions, because before it used to just be runner versus corp. Like, you were playing the runner. I was playing the corp. That's it. Now, there's 3 different runner factions. So you could be like the Anarchs, who are all about destroying shit. The Shapers, who are about building the best like computer rig to attack the servers. Or you can be the Criminals, who are about ducats and stealing. And then there's the Corps. We've got...
When I created the grid, I imagined of how information would transfer from one level to another.
Grid.
Would there be trucks, planes, motorcycles... And then
I can't do enough beeps for the Tron thing. So, ba 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 Tron. there's the corp side. You play as Weyland, which are the aggressive corp. They like
Weyland Yutani.
They're pretty much Weyland Yutani.
Yes.
They're the aggressive corp. They just take over shit, giving no fucks. They get bad reputations because they do hostile takeovers of other companies. And their kind of strategy is like they try and locate the runner and kill him. That's what they want to do. They're like, oh, we found you. Now we're going to kill you.
Nice.
There's NBN, they're the news company, and they're about making news. They also like to track the runner, but more to do things to screw them in different ways rather than kill him. They remove his bank account so he doesn't have any money. They can destroy his resources. So like, there's that. Then there's the Haas Bioroid. They have the best ICE, which is the programs that defend their systems. They have cyborgs and shit. They're pretty cool. They have high-end, like, tough guys. And then there's the Jotenki, which are about traps. They have cards where you, like, you pull a card out of their hand, like, trying to score an objective. You're like, yeah, I'm going to get these points. And you look at it, and it's like, oh, it does damage to me. No. Yeah. So that's the gist.
But it's fun, you're saying.
It's super fun.
It's, you know, and it was huge when it was debuted at Gen Con.
I mean, it's still huge. It sold out. The print run sold out 3 times.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's super big. Everyone should give it a go. It's cheap, too. You could, I would say that even if you never went past the base set, you have a bunch of play, and it could be really fun with just the base set.
And you have 3 base sets.
I do.
Because you are ridiculous.
Well, I wanted to make sure that I would have absolutely every single card needed. 3 was overkill. I'd say if you wanted to play it at a competitive level, 2 would be enough.
2 is all you need.
Yeah, 2 would be enough.
2 is all you need. All right, so that's about it for this week's podcast, or this 2 weeks podcast.
Hentai Tentacle.
Go to planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. You could follow me at Twitter at GameClassy. I now have over 200.
That's me.
Oh, yeah, you're at GameClassy.
Jerkwad.
I'm at Planet Arbitrary.
Jerk ass.
I have over 200 followers.
Fuck.
I've made concerted efforts to get more followers. And I've been tweeting a lot more.
Garbage.
Yeah. I had a really busy week last week. It was terrible. I didn't get to tweet at all most of the time. I'm bored. I'm just going to tweet. Shouldn't you be teaching, Joe? Shut up! Dicks. Yes, and then you could go to our Facebook page, like our Facebook page, and get involved in our rabid discussions about sexism in gaming.
So I can delete them later.
Steve could just raise his hands up in frustration, go, fuck it!
Nope, it's like, out of hand. This got out of hand. There were some real good points made in there, but they were lost in between, like, the waves of just, like, anger, and I was just like, fuck it.
Sad thing.
Fuck it. Delete it.
So anyway, Steve, until next time.
You need a man who will fight for your honor. I'll be the hero you're dreaming of.